again, as we're getting together here, I'm thanking the Lord for the little things here. Thankful I haven't had one mosquito bite yet. I don't know about you. No black flies up here anyway. I hear the deer flies are starting to come out. Haven't seen those yet. Not looking forward to that. But haven't seen them up here, and no hornets or anything either. So, hey, that's the best that you can ask for in a situation like this. But if you do see me hopping around here in a little bit, I probably discovered one of those hornets somewhere. But we're just so thankful to be back in whatever form that it is. One other thing I want to ask Barbara is to remind me at the end to take a picture of all of us with me here and then everybody behind us there, just for remembrance sake in all this. Turn to Psalm 135. If we're going to praise God for allowing us to be back together, then we need to turn to the book of Psalms. And of course, there are many Psalms that I could have picked this morning. But this, along with what Bill read, is thankfulness for God allowing us to be in the house of the Lord. You might say, well, where is the house? Well, I'm under the porch of the house. You're out there. I'll explain more of that in a minute. But to be able to be together and worship together is certainly something that we need to celebrate and we need to praise the Lord for. As we celebrate God's goodness in our ability to regather here together for worship, we're turning to the Psalm of Praise, and we're going to focus our minds on God's goodness and control in the midst of the challenges we have faced. As I've said before, God has not been worried or stressed out about what's going on. I mentioned a number of weeks ago that quote from Corrie Ten Boom, there is no panic in heaven. Certainly that is the case. God has been entirely in control of all of these events, and we need to continue to remind ourselves of these things, even watching the news. You know, if you're getting discouraged by watching the news and all that's going on, don't put your head in the sand. We need to be aware of what's out there, but at the same time, you don't have to watch it all the time. Sometimes it's just better than to turn on whatever news station that you like to listen to or talk radio station. Turn it off and just get back into God's Word and remind yourself of who writes the end of the story, okay? And these are reflections as well of the Bible describing the end times. I'm not saying these are the end times. I'm not giving you a date when Jesus is returning, but we're certainly seeing signs all around us. And so we can rejoice and say, even now, come quickly, Lord Jesus, make all this right. Heal all of this brokenness in our land and around the world. But in the midst of that, isn't it good, in the midst of all the chaos, to be back together in the presence of each other, the church? We are the church, not the building, and we're going to be continually reminded of that throughout the summer. We are the church. It's not one building or location or whatever. We are the body of Christ. We're going to see this morning the living temple. We are the living temple of God that He continues to build. And we'll see that in Psalm 135 this morning. Another neat thing about this, I didn't necessarily plan for this, but I love, as a student of God's Word, when this happens, we're going to see themes in this psalm that we've been talking about in the book of Ephesians and even James. And one commentator said this about Psalm 135, that every verse in this psalm either echoes, quotes, or is quoted by some other part of Scripture. So this psalm is going to sound very familiar to you. And yet, we're going to use it to praise God this morning. I'm going to read this, we'll have a word of prayer and look more into it. Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 135. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. You that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. He caused the vapors or the clouds to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants. Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, he who dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Father, thank you for the ability to be able to be here this morning and meet with your people. Yes, unusual circumstances. And Lord, there are so many things to distract us and to keep us from focusing on your word. But I pray you'll help us to do that. Help me to explain your word well, to be focused. And Lord, we just want to, with this psalm, thank you and offer praise to you for the great God that you are and all of your character and renown and for all the wonders that you do, including allowing us to meet back together again. So, Lord, this is a time of thanksgiving, and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The psalmist starts out with this psalm, and just a reminder for everyone that's listening, that would have been a part of the worship there at the temple, the Jewish people that were listening, and this group today that's here together. The Lord begins in the first verse. He says, praise ye the Lord. The psalmist says this. And what we're going to see in these first few verses is that God's people need to recognize his greatness because God is good to his servants. And we're here today praising him, recognizing God's goodness and us being back together again today. So all of us today should praise the Lord. The word here for Lord is Yahweh, the personal God of Israel. The God that will meet all of their needs, that will do everything for them that they need. And that God is the same God that we call our Heavenly Father today, that has sent Jesus, his Son, as a sacrifice for us, that through faith we can now praise him as his children. And so we praise him too, Yahweh, the God of Israel. We call out our praise to him. And it says, praise ye the name of the Lord. Worship and praise is obviously the right response when God reveals himself to his people. The name there, when we talk about God's name, it is his reputation. It is something that those that know him well can attest to. And it applies that we also give that name high regard, high status. And so when we think of God's name, we're thinking of all that he is because we know him well. Do you know your God well this morning? Do you know the God of Israel? If you do, you'll be even more joyful as we praise, as the psalmist prays, and as we praise him this morning through this. And then he calls the servants of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. These are God's servants. These are the ones that are dedicated to serving him and they should certainly praise him. They say, verse 2, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, these servants are standing, and this has the idea of presentation to the Lord for service or as a gift to him to use in whatever way he would have them to be used. And we stand, or we sit, I stand, but we're here together saying, Lord, thank you for letting us be back together. And we now, as your people, are ready for you to use us in this dark world that needs the light of Jesus Christ, that needs to know the name of God and needs to make them their heavenly Father. We are ready to do that, Lord. We stand ready. Well, specifically in these verses, God's servants in the Old Testament would have been the Levites, that group of God's people that included the priests and those that were involved in the music and all of these. And these men were obviously standing ready to serve in his house, which was the temple. And so as we read this, we may say, well, okay, if it's addressed to the Levites who are getting ready to worship and do all kinds of things in preparation to call God's people to worship, what does that have to do with us then today? Well, this is where Ephesians comes in handy. And I'd like you to turn just briefly to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 19 through 22. And Paul is going to describe the temple that God is building even today. Do we prepare ourselves for the priests that are going to offer sacrifices and prepare ourselves for worship in the outer courts of the temple and all of these things? No, we don't do that today. We don't need to. But we find Paul reminds us and gives us information that we now are the temple of the living God. Look at verses 19 through 22, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Well, how can we praise the Lord in his house, Pastor Brock? You are the house, Paul is saying here. He has builded us up because of the work of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so we can be here together, standing together as the church in the house of the Lord and praise him and say, Lord, we are ready. Thankfully, we don't have to have priests that offer sacrifices anymore. But we do have leaders, pastors and deacons and music leaders as well, all ready to lead God's people into worship, and we've done that. And so we together can praise God as we continue to look through this psalm together. So with that in mind, continue on. Verse 3, why should we praise the Lord? Why should we praise the Yahweh, the God of Israel? Because he is good. This has the idea of pleasant or even the idea of beautiful. That shouldn't be strange to us. When we think upon all that God has done in his character and his holiness, that ought to be more than just a pleasant sound to us, but that ought to be a beautiful picture to the servants of God. We ought to love to meditate on who our God is and knowledge of him and what he's done for us. And again, it says at the end of verse 3, sing praises unto his name, for he is pleasant, for it is pleasant, or it could be translated, for he is beautiful. And the psalmist says here, Israel, children of God, gaze upon your God. Know him well from his word. Think on him. Meditate on him. He is beautiful. He is worthy of our time and meditation. And then, by the way, that will set your heart to want to praise him even more. Are we glad to be back together again in this unusual way? Sure, we are. But even a better reason to praise God is because of who he is and his character. He hasn't left us. He's with us. He continues to see us through. Village Chapel Baptist Church, our Heavenly Father continues to see us through, and he will be faithful, and he is worthy to be praised because all of this is good. He is beautiful in his character and what he's doing for us. And then we get into another area here, verse 4, that should be reminiscent of something we've talked about recently in Ephesians. For the Lord, verse 4, hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure or possession. You know, it's almost, I think there's a good possibility that Paul was meditating on this psalm as he was writing that first chapter of Ephesians. Because here we have the choosing of God, his people, Jacob, his people unto himself, and that theme of his people, Israel, being his own possession, his treasure. Have you heard that before? Let me read you just a couple of verses we've been in recently in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. And then he talks about in verse 18, again, us being God's treasure, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And we talked about the fact that we are the church as God's people. We are his treasure. And the psalmist says that here about God's people, that they are his possession, his peculiar treasure. That doesn't mean we're weird or strange in this regard, but it's just King James language to remind us that God treasures us. He's glad for us. And that ought to move us to praise him and to want to know him well. I think Paul was meditating on these truths as he was writing his own letter to the Ephesians. And when you know God well, you know that not only then is he good to his servants, but he has strength to save his people. He has strength in the midst of the chaos of our nation today to allow us to be back together and worship him. He gives strength for us to have opportunities to give the gospel, even amongst the violence and the strife that we face today. The more we know God, the more we can serve him well and praise him. And here we see in verse 5, the psalmist is speaking from personal knowledge. He has taken time to know God well. Verse 5, for I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all the deep places. We'll get back to that in a minute. But folks, the more we know our God in his word, the more we will want to praise him and love him. Do you have a heart that's overflowing with praise this morning for our God? It's because you know him well. And if you're here this morning and you're frustrated, and we're all a little bit distracted. I know this is weird. This is a little different. But if you're here despondent and maybe angry or upset about something and you're just not able to focus and give God praise, maybe you haven't been spending enough time knowing him well in his word. I did think about Leslie and I in our anniversary yesterday and just being able to take some time. We don't always on our anniversary get to take time to be together because there's so many ministry things that comes up. So it was really nice just to find a local place to be able to spend time together. Even if it was a picnic table outside, that's fine. And we just had a good time together. But thinking back on 17 wonderful years of marriage, and those of you that are young couples, you know this too, but when you're engaged and you're getting to know that particular young lady, you think you're getting to know them very well. And maybe sometimes we as prospective husbands start to get a little arrogant and think, you know, I've got this, huh? I know her well, and I'm learning her better, and I think, you know, things are going to go really well, and we're not going to have very many difficulties or whatever. And it's interesting, right, when you actually get married and you get through the honeymoon and you come home and real life begins to happen, you start to find there's a whole other level of knowledge there that you had never expected. And it's good. It's good. But you get to know each other more intimately, and you learn more about what irritates them and what bothers them. And you're supposed to use that knowledge to grow in your relationship together. Well, certainly if it's important to get to know each other more in marriage and that communication factor and wanting to help serve the other person, it's even more important to get to know our God better, isn't it? We may be comfortable with a certain level of knowledge of him and say, I've got this covered. I'm a good servant. I'm a good, faithful Christian. And yet even the psalmist reminds us the more we get to know him, the more we love him and want to praise him. He's above all the other gods. And therefore God is powerful beyond all false gods. It's utmost foolishness to exalt a false god over the one true God, since God is the one who's over all his creation, including all those silly idols that man creates. We should accept nothing less than the best, our culture likes to say. Well, certainly when it comes to worship of the one true God, don't spend your time worshiping other lesser gods. And we mentioned this a couple weeks ago as I pointed out to you that maybe one of the things that God is doing in the midst of all of this and taking away things from us and taking some of our freedoms away from us, at least for a while, as he's trying to remind us of who our dependence and our ultimate worship needs to be. He's stripping those false gods that we, even in our country, tend to hold on to. Sports, wealth, leisure, all of these things. Maybe God has also called us in our lives to look and make sure that we haven't been worshiping false gods, because that's foolish. He's above all the gods. And I hope that you have, in your time away and a little bit more of a quiet meditation in the time that God has given you in the midst of all this, have grown in your relationship with him, because you've gotten to know him better. He's so much more powerful than all his creation. And we read that. Verse, the end of verse 6, it says, in the seas and all the deep places. Just something on that. The deep places are all the deep, dark caverns and caves and seas and all over the world that man can't even reach. There are certain areas of the ocean that man is not even capable still of reaching. And yet God is in all of those places, and he's all powerful. Even in the places where man can't get to, God is there. And we need to remember that. In the storms that he makes, in the weather, and all of the things about creation, we see. As we look around at creation today, be reminded of the power of God that created all of this. This isn't evolution, but this is the mighty God of Israel, Yahweh, who created all of these things. And if he's that powerful, then he's also powerful to defeat his foes. Some of this we're going to work through quickly. Look at verses 8 through 12. And this describes, again, all that God did for Israel. And the different kings that he delivered them from, and the enemies who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, that final plague where the firstborn were killed or eliminated if they didn't have the blood over the doorpost. He's referring to that. And who sent signs and wonders into the midst of the Egypt against Pharaoh and upon all his servants. And who smote the great nations and the mighty kings, and it gives a list there. And then it says, verse 12, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. All of the enemies and the violent people that God's people faced in the early part of the Old Testament, God delivered them from all of that, and he gave them an inheritance. And we today can look at that and remember the character of our God. And whatever we're facing that we're fearful of or worried about right now, we can know, because of the redemptive history of our God, that he will deliver us from these things too. Maybe you were looking at your computer screen over the past couple months and thinking, Lord, are we ever going to be able to meet back together again? And here we are. And God is going to continue to work. And ultimately, he's given us a heritage that's even more impressive than the land of Israel, and that is, we talked about this in the book of Ephesians, an inheritance that is eternal and that no one can take away from us. And all of these things then are worthy things to praise our God for. And finally here, as we finish up, and we're going to go through this quickly, verses 13 through 21, God's people also recognize his trustworthiness because he's eternally faithful to his people. Look at verse 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. That name, remember, that's his reputation or what we know of him that he has proven to be true and great. Thy name, O Lord, is eternal, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge. And here has the idea of vindication. He will vindicate his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. Now, we could talk for a long time about how God repents, and we don't have time for that this morning. But basically, it's better to think of that word as God relents, because he sees his people and their dependence on him and their crying out to him. And in his sovereignty, he doesn't feel bad that he's done something wrong, but he relents and has compassion. And that's the case. And the context in this verse is that he is ultimately having compassion on his people, on his servants. I was thinking about this idea of a memorial, O Lord, that his name is a memorial. You know, we have been down to Washington, D.C. when we lived in Maryland at least a few times. And the last time we were there, we took some time to look at the memorials there of the different world wars. If you've ever done that, it's very moving. I hadn't been there since I was a child, and to see not just a couple of the memorials, I'd seen the Vietnam Memorial before, but then the World War II Memorial I'd never seen, and the Korean War, and these are very moving because we see, first of all, those that died for our country, and we should, by the way, always recognize their commitment and their sacrifice for our country. We didn't get a chance to do that on Memorial Day. And I always like to try to do that. But also, God delivering us as a nation from these situations. We should think on those things. We should memorialize those things. But as we've been watching the past couple weeks, you know, as pristine and as beautiful as these memorials are, they're not going to last forever. It was very disheartening to see on our television screens that people had started defacing these monuments and spray paint and all these other things, things that we thought nobody would ever do that to these things. They're too important. And yet it's happened. Well, you know, even more so, verse 13, God's name and his power is a memorial that will last forever, that will never be defaced, that will never be vandalized. But God has set up his name, his reputation as a memorial that we'll worship throughout all generations for all eternity, and it will endure forever. And then he goes into talking about verses 15 through 18. Again, God is superior to mankind's idols. Look again as we read verse 15. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. It talks there. They have mouths. They can't talk. They can't see. They can't listen. They can't breathe. And yet, nations put so much hope and trust in these false gods. And it's foolish. When the psalmist says it's foolish for everyone that trusteth in them. What false gods has God taken away from us? Again, that theme. Things that we realize through this time. You know, I've relied more on these other things in my life than on my God. And that was foolish. Because they can't ultimately satisfy me. But my God, my Heavenly Father, the God of Israel, he deserves all my trust. I've been relying on all these other things to make me happy. And I should have been relying on God the whole time. Lord, forgive me for that. Thank you for the reminder of where my dependence truly needs to be. And taking those false gods away from me so that I can be more trusting and dependent on you. Well, for all of this, the psalmist then comes back to the central theme, verses 19 through 21. God is worthy of his people's praise. And he calls for all the worship leaders of Israel, the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, the house of Levi, and then everyone to praise the Lord. Remember, it says, bless the Lord. And we've talked about this recently, too, which is convenient. And that is when we bless the Lord, we don't give anything to him except for our praise. We can't add anything and give God something that he doesn't have already, in other words. But blessing him means praising him, and that we should give to him often. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, 21. He dwelleth at Jerusalem. God deserves, and this reminds me of that theme that James has, not just our inward service, but here the psalmist is reflecting on what we should be doing in an outward sense because of our love and knowledge of God. We should outwardly be praising and exalting him. And he finishes out here, praise ye the Lord. What is that translated in the Hebrew? Well, that's that wonderful word, hallelujah. Praise to Yahweh for all his mighty deeds. So as we get together here, it just seemed appropriate to take this time and praise God. Thank him. And if you've been discouraged, remember who he is. Remember what he's done for his people in the past. Remember what he's doing for us now. And don't be fearful. Jesus is going to return and rule and reign. And we will praise him forever. Father, thank you for your word and for this reminder. Thank you for the wonderful privilege to be able to meet together, even under these circumstances, to see each other, to be able to fellowship and talk and have that fellowship that a church should be able to have, not just over electronic communication, but face to face, even if it's at a distance this time, Lord. Thank you for these that are able to be with us and our friends that are able to visit, and just for bringing us back together. For those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord, I hope that they don't feel badly. I pray that they'll be able to be with us again very soon, and we look forward to that day where we'll all be together. And ultimately, Lord, we know one day we'll be all together, no virus, worshiping Jesus, bowing before him. And that ultimately is what we look forward to. Even so now, Lord Jesus, return. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.